ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 18. Gaur Bhutva Shrumukhi Khinna Krandanti Karunam Vibho Upasthitanti Ketasmai Vyasanam Samavochata. Translation by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow. Very much distressed, with tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. So there is no purport to this verse, so we will read the next verse. Brahma tadupadharyath saha devaistaya saha jagamasa trinayanastiram hiropayo nidhehe. Translation. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva and all other demigods, approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of the universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. Both maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Cha Dushkutam. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. Then, along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Shweta Dvipa. Oh. So this chapter is all about the advent of Lord Krishna and the events that transpired before this are slowly being unfolded through these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord Krishna describes about the demoniac mentality. Briefly, Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddoham balavan sukhi. Then, ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshrita mam atma paradeheshu pradvishanta abhyasuyakaha. The Lord says that the demoniac person, he thinks, I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful and happy. And bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against real religion. So, if among the people who have demoniac mentality, we also have the demons, great demons, super demons like Hiranyakashipu or Ravana or a Kamsa, then the religious principles become entirely vitiated and there is no peace in the society. The pious devotees are not allowed to perform their devotional service, and in fact everything in the society becomes chaotic. So this situation is very, very ripe for the Lord to appear. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkutam. So the situation calls for appearance of the Lord, and the Lord will appear. Lord does appear, and in the process he destroys the evil elements, and also of course he gives solace to his devotees. But the Lord doesn't appear for this purpose alone.
he wants to reciprocate with his devotees. He, for example, his prime aim is not to kill Kamsa, but to actually reciprocate with Devaki, or, you know, other pastimes. Similarly, in case of Lord Narasingadev, his aim is not just to, you know, kill Hiranyakashipu, but he also wants to reciprocate with his dear devotee Prahlad. So there are, the Lord's visit or the Lord's advent is multi-purpose thing. You may not have the intelligence to understand how and why the Lord appears, but janma karma cha me divyam. So that is about the advent of the Lord. But what happens to the earth planet when tyrants, you know, demons, they start overwhelming the society with their tyranny? What happens to society? So what happens to the planet Earth? So for the Earth, the situation becomes most distressful. It becomes so distressful that it becomes impossible, virtually impossible for her to bear the burden of the atrocities that are being performed, especially against the devotees of the Lord. So there is an urge on the part of Mother Earth to lodge a petition. And that petition is to be lodged with whom? A protocol needs to be followed. So she goes to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma also follows a protocol. He assembles all the devotees, as we read in this purport, Lord Shiva and others. And then eventually he goes to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Shweta Deepa. So there is a protocol in everything that is done. Even when the situation is most grave, there is a protocol that needs to be followed. So if it comes to, you know, meeting the President of India, a protocol needs to be followed. We recently heard that His Holiness Adana Swami met President Obama. Surely there must have been a protocol that was followed in that case also. So that's an integral part of existence in our society, but also in spiritual planets, also in even the heavenly planet, these are being followed. So when I was trying to read about the purport, and especially about the precarious condition of the earth, I was thinking to myself that what with the bomb blasts that took place yesterday, I was just thinking, why doesn't Mother Earth prepone her, you know, becoming a cow and approaching Lord Brahma so that the Lord can advent? Why not the avatar prepone, you know, Kalki avatar be preponed, so that, of course, it is not for us to decide when the Lord should advent, but the situation seems to be so very difficult for peaceful existence on this planet. For no fault of people are killed, some bomb explosion, some person with demoniac mentality can wreak so much havoc in the society. Now these people with demoniac mentality don't have the caliber of Hiranyakashipu or Ravana, but still they are actually harassing the human society. So one thing we do understand is that the Lord in His own time will definitely redress all these grievances. We of course have the shelter of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. A question that arises in one's mind is, why does Mother Earth assume the form of a cow? Why not some other form? Why the cow? Now, according to the scriptures, there are 7 mothers. We have the real mother, that is our biological mother. Then we have Guru Patni, we have Dvija Patni, then wife of a king, that is the queen, Rajapatni. Then we have the cow, Gomata. Then we have the nurse, who is also considered to be a mother because she takes care of the child. Then we have Bhumata. So 7 mothers. So why does Bhumata transform herself into Gomata? So I'm just thinking about it. I would like to place some thoughts. Gomata or the cow is very, very dear to Krishna. In fact, Krishna is called as Gopala. he takes care of the cows very lovingly. He is Gopala. And what is Krishna's favorite occupation? We all have occupations, but what is Krishna's occupation? Not that he needs to be occupied, but he does it out of his love. What does he do?
Chintamani prakarasatma shukalpa vriksha lakshavruteshu surabhir abhipalayantam surabhir abhipalayantam.
Herding the surabhi cows is his favorite occupation. He is so fond of the cows that he herds them personally. Now we read in the Krishna book how as a very small child he would herd the cows, and later on he graduated into herding the cows. So that is his most lovable occupation which he wants to do. And Srila Prabhupada in one of his purport he writes that as men are made after form and features of Supreme Lord, so also cows are made after the form and features of Surabhi cows in the spiritual world.
So, cow is a worshipable living entity who eats grass and gives us nectarian milk.
Now, panchagavya consisting of milk, cow's milk, curds, ghee, dung, and cow's urine, gomutra. Panchagavya is indispensable. It is indispensable both in religious rituals like samskara. You can't think of doing any samskara without this. And also, it is important in Ayurveda. So, we find therefore that not only the cow is a very wonderful, gentle, I would even say very humble, very peace-loving living entity, but also very, very useful to the society. Now, cow is not just another animal. So I remember reading a story of Tenali Ramakrishna. He was in the court of Krishna Devaraya. One day it so happened that a scholar from some other kingdom, he came to the court of Krishna Devaraya, and he was posing many questions, and one of the questions he posed was, which animal's milk is the best? So there was a spontaneous response. He said, cow's milk. So the king and everybody looked at Tenali Ramakrishna, because he was supposed to be the most intelligent person in the court. He said, goat's milk. People were shocked. He said, Tenali Ramakrishna is saying that the most precious milk is that of a goat and not cow? He said, maybe he has become slightly deranged to give such a reply. At that time, Tenali Ramakrishna said to that scholar, he said, please forgive me. Your question was, which animal's milk is best? But he said, cow is not an animal. She is a mother. Cow is a mother, not an animal. So you asked which animal's milk is best. So I said, goats. But cow is not just another animal. She is a mother. So this is the culture which we have inherited. And this is the culture about which Srila Prabhupada has written so extensively in his purports in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So just as a child receives protection and nourishment from his or her mother, similarly the human society receives mother's love, nourishment and prosperity also from mother cow. Prabhupada writes in several purports that India's wealth was not based on factories. It was based on cows and agriculture. He says that is what made India most prosperous. So much wealth was there. We read in the newspaper recently how one temple, you know, Ananta Padmanabha temple, how much wealth was there in one temple, to speak of so many temples. So India has been a very rich country, but that riches, that prosperity was not linked to any other thing. It was linked to cow protection, linked to cows. That was the real wealth. And we find when we read through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that there have been, you know, fights and wars fought for cows, on cows. Vishwamitra, you know, fought a war almost virtually, you know, had a big fight with the Vasishtha Muni. for a Kamadhenu cow. Then we read also about Kartavirya Arjuna. He had a fight with Jamadagni. So many events took place, all in connection with the cow. So how dear is the cow to Sri Krishna? This is clear from a beautiful pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I won't go into the details. So we know about how Indra became frustrated and angry and tried to destroy Vrajadham out of his anger, all because he was not offered the customary annual worship. And the Vrajavasis, on the advice of talkative little boy Krishna, preferred to offer worship to Govardhan. Indra was very angry, and he used all his machinery, all his power to devastate, you know, Vrajadham. He uses Samvartaka clouds and very, very heavy torrential rains and winds. He wanted to unsettle and in fact wanted to destroy the Vrajavasis for having offended him. This was his pride, this was his anger. But Krishna humbled, he punctured the pride of Indra and protected him, as Holiness Radhanath Swami says, that by puncturing his pride, he actually protected Indra. And he lifted the Govardhan mountain on the tip of his small finger and protected all the Brajavasis. He protected all the cows, and the cows, all of them took shelter for under the Parvata for 7 days. And everything was nice. Indra belatedly realized his mistake. He understood that the little boy was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to go and offer his apologies. He wanted to beg for forgiveness. But he had no guts, no courage to face Sri Krishna. So he had consultations with his authorities, and they told him that you have to take an intermediary, you require a mediator. And whom did he take? He took Surabhi cow. So Surabhi cow was the one he took. So just by looking at Surabhi cow, Krishna, he became very, very happy. His loving, he became very, very forgiving towards Indra. So this is the power, or this is the way in which Krishna loves the cows. And we chant every day, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So Krishna is the well-wisher of cows, and he's always benefiting the whole world. And we offer our repeated obeisances to Krishna, acknowledging the fact that he is the lover of cows and Brahmanas. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, he writes, the bull and the cow are symbols of most offenseless living beings, because even their stool and urine are utilized for benefit of human society. This statement very clearly illustrates how cow is a most worshipable living being. I hope I don't use the word animal in future in connection with the cow after having read about it. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has more examples. We just now had an example of Mother Earth taking the form of cow and going with Lord Brahma and Shiva to Shvetadvip, where she offered prayers. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has some more examples of Mother Earth taking on the form of cow in a situation of a distress. So Parikshit Maharaj, we find that during one of his tours, he saw a Shudra dressed as a king, and he was torturing a cow and a bull which was on its three legs. The cow was personified earth and the bull was personified dharma. And Parikshit Maharaj, who is a devotee of the Lord from his very birth, he just could not tolerate this insult and this injury that was being caused. He was wondering how in his kingdom there could be a person who could think of torturing the cow and the bull. He just couldn't take it. He says, Yastvam Krishne Gate Duram Saha Gandiva Dhanvana. So he accosts that person with the Shudra. He accosts him and tells him that, how dare you do this? Do you think, you think that you dare to beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjuna are out of sight? You think there is no one else, you know, to, you know, follow, and there is no one else who can, you know, really throw you out because Krishna and Arjuna are not there, it doesn't mean that you can take liberties. So that was Parikshit Maharaj. And then he greets that bull and the cow with such sweet words. Ma saurabheyatra shuchaha vetute vrushalatvayam ma rodihi ambam bhadram te kalanam mai shastari. He says, O son of Surabhi, he addressed the bull as son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear the low class Shudra. And O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. So this is the reassuring stand which kings in the past took. They knew that their prime duty was to protect mother cow. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport writes, Maharaj Parikshit addresses the cow as mother, for he is cultured twice born Kshatriya. Whereas that culture gone now. No such culture anymore left. And we find rampant killing of cows. And it's going on all for, you know, catering to taste buds. It's going on. So Mother Earth can take the form of a cow, very willingly takes the form of a cow to sort out all her problems. So in the example, that two examples that we have discussed, Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow in a distressful situation. But there is one particular pastime of Prithu Maharaj in which Mother Earth also takes the form of a cow, but for different reasons. She is in a defiant mood. So what is that? We'll briefly discuss the story to conclude. So King Prithu was an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he was enthroned after the cruel Vena was killed. King Prithu was enthroned by the great sages and Brahmanas, and he was declared to be the benefactor of all the citizens. And actually, under Prithu's reign, all the citizens, they were very, very pious. They were performing their duties very, very correctly, very nicely. And Mother Earth, who normally reciprocates with the citizens, those people who are living on it, she reciprocates very nicely by giving grains, herbs. We can't imagine what our existence will be if Mother Earth goes on strike and she says that let the farmers, you know, plant their seeds, but I'm not going to give you any crops. Can't imagine that situation. So Mother Earth here, she was not very cooperative, and she was not, and Maharaj Prithu was disturbed on account of that. In fact, all the citizens, they went with a petition to Maharaj Prithu, and they told him, they had all become emaciated and weak, and they told Maharaj Prithu that we are not getting proper food grains to eat. If this continues for a longer time, all of us will die. We don't see any future for ourselves. That, and all the citizens, Maharaj Prithu saw that the citizens had become all skinny because of lack of food, because of lack of nutrition. So after hearing the lamentation and seeing the pitiable condition of the citizens, Maharaj Prithu, who is, as I said, an incarnation of the Lord, he felt great compassion for his citizens. And he actually went into deep contemplation. He went into deep contemplation to analyze the reasons why Mother Earth was not producing grains. Why was she not supplying grains and herbs to the people, because of which the people were suffering so much? So after contemplating for a while, after all, he is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he is all-knowing, he came to the conclusion, he came to some conclusion, and Srimad Bhagavatam described that he immediately took up his arrow and a bow, and he took one sharp arrow and he aimed it at Mother Earth. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, it seemed that he was looking exactly like Lord Shiva when he is ready to destroy the whole world. The purport talks here about Lord Shiva destroying the world. It looked as if that Maharaj Prithu, otherwise so compassionate, was willing to kill Mother Earth. Now, situation is comparable to Lord Ramchandra, you know, aiming an arrow at Samudra Raj when you are not giving way, you know, for building the bridge. So Mother Earth saw King Prithu and was about to kill her, so she became frightened. It is described that she started trembling, trembling with fear. Her whole body became, you know, began to tremble. And in this situation, she took on the form of a cow. Now, when you look at a cow, the very appearance of a cow produces, you know, some, you know, soft feelings in her heart. You feel some tenderness because it's such a peace-loving, you know, living entity. So she was hoping against hope that Prithu Maharaj would soften his stand, took on a shape of a cow, but Prithu Maharaj, his arrow was fixed on his bow, and the cow-shaped Mother Earth started running to escape from Prithu Maharaj. She went from place to place, planet to planet, and wherever she went, Prithu Maharaj was chasing after her with his arrow fixed on his bow, wanting to kill. Finally, she realized that she couldn't have escaped Prithu Maharaj. It's not possible to escape. So ultimately, she surrendered. She turned back and surrendered to Prithu Maharaj. And she offered beautiful prayers to Prithu Maharaj. And she was hoping that these prayers would appease the Lord. But the Lord was not still pleased with the prayers that were offered by Mother Earth in the shape of a cow. And he chastised her, saying that she had not done her duty. So the arrangement of the Supreme Lord in running of the cosmic affairs is that everyone has a role to play. So the citizens, we human beings, have a role to play. And similarly, nature, Mother Nature, also has a role to play. The demigods have certain roles to play. So everyone practically has a role to play. And Prithu Maharaj chastised Mother Earth, saying that you have not played your role properly. And don't think that because you are in the form of a cow, you are going to escape punishment. So Mother Earth then explained to Prithu Maharaj the reason why she was not giving the grains and the herbs. She said that the seeds, the roots, herbs and grains all have been created by Lord Brahma. And the sages and the brahmanas and the devotees of the Lord have been utilizing these for the purpose of performance of sacrifice. Whereas non-devotees who are described as adhruta vrat and asadbihi, asidbihi means non-devotees, adhruta vrat means devoid of spiritual understanding. So the Mother Earth was saying that such people, such demoniac people, they are misusing whatever things that have been produced. I think the trend continues even today, after so many centuries, so many millennia. Because there was no proper king to punish these rascals and thieves who were utilizing the food grains for sense gratification and not for performance of yajna, I hid them within me. So Mother Earth, who normally reciprocates when efforts are put in by the farmers and rain gods, you know, they shower rains. Normally Mother Earth reciprocates, but in this case, she made an exception. She hid all that within her own womb. And then Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, also suggested a solution to Prithu Maharaj. She said that you find a proper milkman, you find a suitable, you know, calf and a pot for storing whatever things that I produce. So this cow's love for its calf is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the cow, Mother Earth as cow, she says that when you bring a calf near me and make suitable arrangements for collection of everything, I will give whatever you want. Then Prithu Maharaj immediately becomes compassionate and he implements whatever was suggested by the cow. So thus he himself becomes the milkman and his palms become the pot, and then Swayambhuva Manu is transformed into a calf, and then the milking process takes place. So thus we find that taking on the form of a cow seems to be very dear to Mother Earth. So therefore a thought occurred to me, very stupid, but that why not, isn't the situation ripe today for Mother Earth to take on the form of a cow and, you know, approach Brahma and say, solve the problems of this turbulent society, turbulent world. But I know Bhagavatam says there are many thousands of years left for the Lord to appear. So I would end on this note. Hare Krishna. If there are any comments or questions, is Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.